Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast arena. Coming to the ring at this time.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
First, representing this week in Geek, and from parts unknown, he is Mike, the Birdman, Don.
I am one hardcore D.O. Double D.
His tag team partner, representing the Geekcast Radio Network, and hailing from the outer reaches of your mind, he is Mike TFG1 Blanchard.
I got four words for you. Check out my ass.
And from the Great White North, here is your special guest referee, Ryan, the Uneven Flow.
The multi always gets his man.
You are listening to Mayhem Mikes. And now, let's get ready to podcast!
Hello, folks. It is Mayhem Mikes. This is episode 17, and you might be wondering, what the hell? There's more than one episode within like a week and a half of each other. That's right, folks. We are, the Mayhem Mike's train is going on and on and on and on and on. And TV's Mr. Neil, our ring announcer, commented on this episode and basically said, apparently the podcast goes by the Freebird rule. Well, you know, why not, right? Joining me, as always, Ryan the Uneven Flow Merkley. Hello, sir.
The Freebirds usually swap people out. They just don't, you know, have one sort of removed. But anyway.
Well, he's not. He's he's not removed. He's
I know,
on.
It's temporary. I know.
He's.
I'm just saying, like, in terms of it being the Freebird.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm good. Very tired because, as you know, of course, I emceed the inauguration as a famous podcaster. I thought it was weird that they offered it to me, but I was assured that I was the first person in line. So, yeah, it was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, the inauguration.
What? Oh, God. It was good. There was at least 2 million people there.
Alternative facts, right?
I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway.
You know, it's funny, that hashtag popped up. And one of the local DJs here in Louisville, she posted something about, the Big Mac sauce. The fact that they're now selling the Thousand Island Big Mac sauce or whatever. And I'm like, science lied to you, hashtag alternative science.
Roman Reigns is booked really well, hashtag alternative facts. Hey, speaking of which...
Yeah. Yes, speaking of which, we're doing a little something different. We are going to talk about the go-home shows for Monday Night Raw and SmackDown Live, because next episode will be the Royal Rumble, and the only reason why I wanted to even do this podcast episode is because of... last episode we've been comparing Raw and SmackDown and how they differ in their programming and how one is better than the other at this point in our personal opinions.
Yeah, if you enjoy the other one, go right ahead. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And actually this week I'll probably lean towards Raw a bit, but yeah.
We'll really?
Yeah. First.
Wow, question. We're going to split...
Well, we'll see, but I mean, first a quick question to you.
Uh-huh.
How did you watch Raw? Did you watch the recap on Hulu, is it?
Or... Yeah, I watched the short Hulu version.
Okay, cool. I'll have a question about that much later.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, that's how I always watch them.
Yeah,
okay. I mean, I'm sure I could go to certain websites and find the full 2 and 3 hour versions, but honestly, I'm paying $12 a month for ad-free Hulu, and it's there. I might as well you know, use something that I'm paying for. So Monday Night Raw, what the hell?
Still too long. I mean, I'm just going to go through like some of the stuff I liked.
Okay, go ahead.
Just quickly, like Zayn versus Rollins, I liked that, and I really liked that they finally tied Triple H into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just with the music, and you know, it distracts Seth.
Now let me ask you, was that a new video package? Like, I know the song is the same, but
I thought there was some stuff that was different. Yeah, it didn't seem to be. Maybe it's just been so long since we've seen Hunter and the video actually play with his entrance and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seemed different. But again, maybe it's just been so long that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought that was smart. And it gives Sammy something to do, too. Like, this is something that presumably helped storylines with both guys. At least it helps both guys if Sammy actually does something in the Rumble. If he gets thrown out in 4 minutes or something, then no. But I expect he made it there for a reason, or at least I hope so. And
right.
No, I like that. I think it helped both guys. It helped tie Seth Rollins back into Triple H, which has kind of gone on the back burner for a while.
Yeah, and I'm very glad that the Sammy Strowman thing did not go on longer than it should have.
Yeah, they did a smart thing there. Now, if they face each other again down the line, I guess I'm okay with it, just because Strowman still needs somebody who can kind of be a ring general. Like, he's not ready for a 20-minute main event.
Right. Well, that's one of the reasons why I said, as I said last episode, I want to see Brock and Braun. That's what I want to see.
Or even Goldberg Braun, or even if they did like a quick Reigns Strowman match or something like that, it still would kind of work. But he's not ready for a super long one yet. And I mean, you can't blame the guy. He only had 10 matches, I think it was, before he came up to WWE.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there was that. Negatives, I'm just going to flat out say it. Everything with the cruiserweights was a negative because it wasn't given any time. And then. I hope, for your sake, that the stupid Alicia Fox segment was taken out.
Alicia Fox? You mean the Carmella?
Alicia Fox. No, that's...
I did not see that.
All right, good. So you're lucky there, because that was awful. And then the Strowman... You know what? The Strowman, Rusev, Mahal, O'Neil versus New Day, Enzo and Cass. At least Enzo and Cass were finally together again. And And you know what? The stuff with Braun, it was a smart way to give him something to do without giving away where he's going to be or what he's going to do at the Rumble.
Right.
So I kind of like that. It's another one that it wasn't that bad. They kind of buried O'Neil, which is better, too, because he's not been good lately.
He hasn't been good. What did you say last time? Since the primetime players.
Yeah, basically. So, and then just kind of going back and forth, back to the positives for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give the Reigns, Owens, Jericho stuff a positive because Owens was terrific on commentary again. He had a good reason to get up and, you know, try to beat up Reigns, that kind of thing. But then Reigns beats up both guys and locks Owens up. And, like, one guy should not beat up two. This drives me nuts. There's a reason you don't see MMA two-on-one fights, because it's dumb and it's not very realistic.
Mm.
I know wrestling's not supposed to be real, but I mean...
Oh, please. Like, we don't need... Listeners, do not call in. Do not send email. Please. We do not need the fake versus real argument on this
show. It's real to me, damn it. But I just hate the whole, like, two guys can't beat up one. Whenever you do that, it feels like a failure. I mean, that's one of the reasons, I'm sure we'll get into this with the Cena retrospective.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not Cena's fault. I'm not trying to get mad at him.
Oh, and you're going to go with the whole he pushes people down thing?
No, it's not his fault, though.
Right.
Like, but it's definitely happened. Like, the Nexus is the best example, right?
Yeah,
one guy should not beat three. I mean, that was...
Yeah.
That's a bad idea. Like, stuff like that shouldn't happen. Same with CM Punk shouldn't have beaten The Shield.
Yeah.
I mean, that was ludicrous, too. One guy
I mean, I can see it to where, like, if you had, like, okay, so let's say it's CM Punk versus The Shield, and they're going to have the three matches. They're going to have the first match, the middle match, and then the rubber, you know, end match. So I could see, like, CM Punk and The Shield doing a spot where in between the first and second matches, he comes out and beats them all up really quick, like, really quick as a promo kind of thing. Like, you know how they do the damn table, the contract signings and shit like that? So do it like a contract signing kind of thing. And,
Use a weapon, whatever it kind of takes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. It's when it's a long match, though. That's a mistake.
And then
to finish off my thoughts on this one, the other problem is it's your two champions. Like, how bad do both belts look?
Yeah.
When both champs get beat up by a guy who doesn't hold either belt.
By the guy that everyone hates, you know.
Yeah, and again, to be fair to Roman, like, I like him.
I do too.
But they make it so hard to cheer for the guy, and I feel so bad for him. He's being shoved in this terrible spot. Like, Cena's a great example right now. I want to cheer for Cena, that kind of thing, because they've dedicated him to one guy. He didn't beat up Baron Corbin, you know, one night, and then he beats up Styles in the same match or right after, or something like that. No. Right. You know, he's still a tough guy. He's still winning, and he's focused. You don't need to feed him, like, six wrestlers to show how tough he is.
Yeah. Well, the thing with Roman is, and the thing with anyone that we like, you know, the problem I have sometimes is if I like a wrestler, like, say, Roman Reigns. I've liked him since he was in The Shield. Has he needed mic improvement over that time? Oh, hell yes. He has needed a lot of mic technique for himself, and he's gotten a lot better since he was in The Shield. But the problem is, if you take Roman and you have the crowd booing him all the time, like you know, split that up. Do something like what Cena has. I mean, I know you can't, you know, do a, you know, Cena rules, Cena sucks, you know, you can't do that with Roman, but it's like, why am I the only one sitting in my chair at my computer rooting for this guy when everybody else in the audience is booing the guy? It's like, is there something wrong with me or is there something wrong with them? I personally think there's something wrong with them. But
I think Cena though, he's a senior enough guy, like, he's done it long enough, he's smart enough that he can deal with it really well. I think with Roman, he hasn't done it, you know, he hasn't been around enough. Like, Cena acknowledges the chance and just kind of shoves it away and does his thing anyway. With Roman, it just doesn't seem to work that well, and then it's compounded by the fact that they just book him horribly. Like, oh, here's Roman Reigns. Well, it looks like he's going to beat six other guys tonight. You know, the Rumble is probably the turning point where basically he sat out almost the entire Rumble, comes back in for the last 2 or 3 minutes and wins.
Yeah.
I mean, that really made people angry at him.
I
feel for the guy.
And the thing with Cena is, and he has said this for the last 10, 12, however many years he's been in the 2002s, he's 15 years. Okay, so for the last 15 years, he has always said this. I don't care what kind of noise you make as long as you're making noise. If you want to love me, if you want to hate me, whatever. And I think one of the reasons why I preferred this go-home, this week's SmackDown over Raw, is simply because the promo and mic work between AJ and John was... that has been the best I've seen John on mic in at least 5 years. He's always good, but, like, when he gets that fired up and that direct and he's succinct, he's not just insulting AJ to insult him. He's taking point of fact to this guy and telling him, hey, look, I've been holding this down. You know, I grabbed that audio, and that audio is actually going to play it 6 minutes. I don't even give a shit. Fair use, whatever. I don't give a fuck. I'm playing that audio at the end of this podcast.
But I think what helps him a lot, though, is AJ gives it right back.
Right. Does
it well. Like, the two of them, the two of them have, ever since, you know, the two of them have been working together, both of their mic work it improves both of them. This has been a perfect feud for the two of them because the two of them just play well off each other and bounce well off them. So it's been great to watch. I almost hope it continues. Like, I don't know who's going to win Sunday between the two of them. You know, obviously, right. I think at some point Cena's going to win and beat Flair's record. I kind of hope they save it for WrestleMania because then it's more special.
Right.
And I kind of hope it's against AJ again because the two of them just work. You know, I could watch those guys do this forever, it seems like. They're so good.
Well, and again, it's because it's two very different styles. No pun intended.
Yeah.
John even points out, you know, he wasn't built for the indie scene, you know. So John has had his style, and his style has progressed through the years that he's been in WWE. And AJ has had his style and what works for him, and that's fine. And what's great about that is they both bring different things to the match that can, you know how certain announcers I don't even care which ones. I would rather reference Jim Ross and Lawler than anybody else. But when they say that, oh, they're matching each other move for move, and they're doing this, and they're doing, you know, that's what John versus AJ is. They can go up against each other. They know each other at this point so well for the moves, whether it's choreographed beforehand, whether it's planned out, whatever. When we're watching it, it looks like it's real enough to me. Like,
damn it.
Like, we don't see... What?
No, I mean, it's real to me, damn it.
Oh, yeah, it's real to me, damn it. You know, but it's one of those things where I know this happens, but I don't ever really notice it. I know at some point during matches, they're talking to each other as they're doing the moves, so they set each other up. You know what I mean? I know
What I know of AJ is that a lot of his matches aren't really choreographed that much beforehand, that he kind of feels the crowd, and there's certain things that are planned, but for the most part, it's kind of on the fly.
Right.
And I think he and Cena seem to have enough chemistry. I expect that that's what they're doing.
Right, yeah.
It's the same with, like, Jericho. If he's feeling it with somebody, you know, they won't plan a single thing. They just jump in the ring and listen to the crowd and try to figure it out.
Right. Well, but what I'm saying is, like, different camera angles. Like, if somebody rolls somebody up, or, like, you take AJ and John. If AJ rolls John up and he's, you know, kind of holding him there, I'm sure at some point there's, and again, thank God the wrestlers are not mic'd, because then we would all know that, hey, it's really fake. Damn it. But it's one of those things where they may say something to each other like, okay, I'm going to now do this to you, so prepare a react. You know, I really
it's usually,
do.
It's usually one word. There's a couple of matches. You can find them online easily. And obviously you can find them on the network. You can actually hear what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the mic just gets too close for an entire match.
Right.
And it's interesting to me how much they can get out of it. It's usually one word per thing.
Yeah.
And it's really neat how it's done on the fly. Sometimes the ref will kind of give it away if two guys are far away or something like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But no, I thought the one reason why I felt that SmackDown was superior to Raw with this week's shows and the go home show for Royal Rumble is because of.
Oh, I think that was the best. Yeah, that was the best segment. I thought SmackDown had some really bad segments. For example, please tell me Ellsworth and Carmella weren't on your.
Yes, they were.
Okay, so figure this out. That was taped. How is it that bad when you actually have more than one shot at it?
Like, I know.
That was the best take they could figure out.
I know.
One of the many reasons I love Breaking Bad is, for example, there's a scene where Walt, like, walks up to his door, and they took 24 takes before they decided on the one they wanted, because, you know, he had to decide how to step up and how Walter was feeling and that kind of thing, and it took 24 tries before he was happy with it. The Ellsworth thing, I mean, I assume they did it in one or less. I don't know, because that was awful. Whoa. And it was funny, too, because Carmella seems to be trying to, like, rein him in or something, and he just can't do it.
The
segment itself, by the way, is terrible. Like, even if he had acted correctly, it was awful.
Look, I don't know James Ellsworth from a hole in the wall. I don't want to know James Ellsworth. I don't wish the guy any ill will or anything, but basically, you know, watching him and the character that guy is portraying, I would rather watch Zach McGowan hop around on one leg than watch James Ellsworth. With Carmella, they have nothing better to do with her now that it's Nikki versus Natalya. Like, there's no... okay, I get it. SmackDown has Alexa. That was the other reason why. Not Alexa, but I'll say it in a second. But that was the other reason why I felt that SmackDown was a little bit more... I enjoyed that more than Raw.
So,
who else is it? Like, okay, you got Alexa and Becky. You got Carmella. You got Nikki and Natalya. Nikki and Natalya are now in a feud because we found out that Natalya was the one that originally attacked Nikki. Yeah. So Carmella is kind of back out on the thing here. And is Naomi's on SmackDown, right?
Yeah, Naomi. Naomi challenged Alexa Bliss this week.
Right. So she challenged Alexa. So I'm kind of at a crossroads with the SmackDown Women's Division because you got Carmella, who seems like she's on a desert island with Ellsworth, which is just horrible for her. Nikki and Natalya have got their thing. Alexa versus Naomi, which is probably the next championship thing that Alexa's going to have to defend, most likely. I don't know if that's true or not.
Right,
and then you got Becky and Mickey.
Yeah.
You know, and I said this last week, we talked about the La Luchadora not showing off specific moves, things like that, and we finally get the reveal that, Mickey James is back. Honestly, I almost forgot. I almost had to look her up to see who the hell she was. Because I remember the name. I remember her being around, around the Trish Stratus era and everything else. But it's been so goddamn long.
I got to watch her excellent sort of re-debut match between her and Asuka at the NXT pay-per-view, which was fantastic.
Oh, awesome.
And a really good match. So, yeah, I mean, I wasn't surprised that she was back, but... I'm happy to see her back. I think their feuds are pretty strong. I think the Raw stuff is really strong, too. Charlotte is killing it, and Bayley's been solid in that feud. She hasn't been booked well originally, but it's improved. And I like the Nia Jax-Sasha thing. I think that's...
Yeah.
It's like, logical to give Nia a challenge now after, like, weeks of jobbers.
Well, looking at the Raw Women's Division, you got Charlotte and Bayley, you got Sasha and Nia Jax. Who else is on the Raw Women's thing?
There's Alicia Fox, who's stuck in that stupid thing with the Noam Dar and everybody. I'm trying to forget about it. I can't even remember.
I know. So, I still feel that... While SmackDown did have some mishaps, I still enjoy... Maybe it's just because of the John Cena thing, because I'm a huge Cena fan, and I'm not going to apologize for that to anybody. If you don't like him, fine. You don't have to like him. But it's just one of those things where I almost would have rather fast-forwarded Raw through certain segments. And I think I only fast-forwarded SmackDown through the Carmella Ellsworth stuff.
No, there was more god-awful stuff.
Was there? Okay.
The Battle Royal. Anything involving Mojo Rawley makes me sad. and then on Raw, just to finish it off, my other sort of positive for it was the ending. I liked the Brock, Goldberg, Undertaker showdown. Goldberg concussing himself and bleeding profusely, notwithstanding.
Yeah.
Which was weird. So, by the way, was that edited at all? Did they keep the blood in and everything? Because, man, he was gushing a few times. And for anyone who doesn't know, apparently he hit himself with the door before coming out, and so the top of his head was bleeding.
I did not notice that, so they may have edited that.
They must have then. Wow.
I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and watch it again.
And it was running down a few times, too. And so they cut away, and he'd clean it off. But then it would just start rolling down again.
Yeah.
Poor guy. And then it took him 3 tries to actually start his promo. Part of that was, you know, he blamed the fans and their chants for it and that kind of thing. I don't know. I'm not sure if he knew where he was after belting the door. But anyway, and then we got Paul Heyman coming out, which anytime that happens is an absolute joy.
Yeah. I love Paul, but I love when Goldberg interrupts Paul, because that's just like, ever since Goldberg's return, he doesn't want to hear diddly squat from Paul Heyman. And I almost wonder, and I've mentioned this before, and I would like to know, I may actually have to tweet Paul Heyman and ask him, hey, how do you control, you know, how do you take care of your vocal cords when you're shouting Brock? Because I could never, even if I drank 1 million gallons of water, which I know that's obviously impossible.
Yeah, but Paul's just the ultimate salesperson. Like, yeah, just in general.
Yeah.
He can do almost anything and sell almost anything. He probably talks to himself all day. He's so good at it. But yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
And then just to finish it off, I guess the only other good point that we haven't brought up before that I enjoyed. And by the way, like, Miz Ambrose, I mean, it was fine, but I figured nothing was going to come of it, and nothing really did. But the other thing I kind of liked was the Wyatt family showdown, Luke Harper and Randy Orton.
That was awesome.
And it ended cleanly, which was nice. And then we had the, you know, Bray comes in and gives Harper Sister Abigail. Mm-hmm. So there's more intrigue kind of there. I'm curious to see where it's going. Whether is Orton actually part of the family, or did he do all this to break them up? Is Harper going to be a good guy and go after him? Like, I think it's made everybody more interesting that's involved. So I'm fine with that. I think it's a good
idea. This is the first time, this SmackDown was the first time I have ever been really interested to know what the hell is going on with the Wyatt family. And it's all because of Randy being in there. The thing with Dean and Miz is that
I like them. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just right before a pay-per-view, I knew the title wasn't going to change. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just, you know, it just, that's one of the things with, like, a blow-off, you know, the go-home Raw and SmackDown. You know there's not going to be big changes or...
Well, there's not going to be super big changes. I mean, there could be you know, you never know. But it's just one of those things where I almost wish that that Miz did not say, and I know this is part of his character, and I really am digging the Miz and what he's doing with his character right now, but I almost wish he did not say the whole thing about, you know, he is the one that keeps all the superstars, at least the male talent, you know, paid and whatever else, because what I would have rather have seen than a lumberjack match, and let's face it, who the hell was out there for that Baron Corbin, Titus O'Neil, and a few, like, you know, not Zach.
Also, you don't mean Titus O'Neil. I think you mean Apollo Crews, but anyway.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, Apollo.
Yeah, by the way, all right, I saw 2 incredible wrestling tweets today. I'll have to send the one to you afterwards. Okay. One was somebody made a GIF of all of Kevin Owens making fun of other wrestlers, but the other one is referencing the lumberjack match. How come Jack Swagger wasn't out there?
Yeah,
His name is Jack. It seems Jack, perfect. Yeah. They couldn't even get him on TV for that. Anyway, sorry.
Well, what I wish they would have done was, and I know they couldn't do this because the certain ring prop is actually in the other show, but instead of a lumberjack match, I wanted it to be a no disqualification match with Maurice in the shark cage above the ring. I know that would technically be stupid, but I just... And really quick, before we get out of here, folks, we have got to talk about these goddamn announce teams. Oh, my God.
They need more announcers on SmackDown. There's only four. You know, you need at least seven or eight.
You know, okay, look, the announce teams. I know they prepare. I know they do hard work. I know they, you know, between Byron and Graves, they've got their little thing. And Cole is pretty much a, you know, end-all, be-all. He gets all the heat anyway, no matter what, half the time. But SmackDown. All right, so I don't mind. I'm sitting here paying for Hulu. I don't mind in a two-hour show, if there are four announcers, that they get something wrong, they mispronounce something, they give a wrong fact, things like that. But, you know, if you're on the network and you're doing a pay-per-view, and especially because, as we said last episode, pay-per-views are still on cable, and they're still $40, $50, $60, $70. If you're going to pay, which we've already said, don't do that, get the network, $9.99. But it's one of those things where if you're going to sit there and pay for $50 for a pay-per-view, you expect the announcers to get the shit right. And some of the time between... Mauro's great. I love Mauro. But some of the time between him when he sometimes flubs, when JBL flubs... JBL, half the time, I think he shows up drunk. I know he probably doesn't. But it just, like, certain times, it's like, oh my God. And then Otunga and Phillips. Phillips is fine. He's all right. Otunga is all right, but... Because there's too many of them, they all start talking at once. And it's like, no, shut up. One at a time.
How depressing is it that Kevin Owens is better than three-quarters better than three-quarters of the announced team?
I know.
Owens is great on commentary. Not to mention I love listening to him make fun of Byron Saxton and how kind of superfluous he is. And then he and Graves gang up on him, which I always enjoy. But anyway...
Yeah.
It's not
the
good.
The last thing I'm going to say is with Owens, and I know they won't do this because I know they don't want to change his gimmick and in his character model, but, you know, we say he's really great on mic with the commentary and everything else, and he's great on mic anyway with Chris and all that. I, at some point, would like to see them use him to do what Punk used to, where he comes out and... just sits there and talks, because we've seen it. Kevin can talk.
Yeah, his character used to do that too in NXT. He would just kind of come out whenever he felt like it and either sit at the announce table or just start talking. He's really good at that, and that's the character I like from him, which is kind of the ass-kicker version where... You know, he would just go out and destroy guys. And, you know, one of the famous ones is he gave Zane, I think it was seven. It was at least five, but I thought it was seven power bombs in a row. And Zane was out after, like, the third one. Yeah. And he just kept doing it over and over again. Like, not the pop-up, but just a normal power bomb.
Just the normal power bomb, yeah.
And they ended it early and gave him the title, and he just kept going. And... Mm. I kind of miss that, but alternatively, it made people want to cheer for him, so I understand why he plays the more cowardly kind of guy now.
Yeah.
But the one thing that bugs me is his moveset, whenever he uses all of them, like, he's got some crazy stuff, like the fireman's carry, neck breaker, and some of, like, the weird stuff he doesn't always use. His moveset's, like, for somebody who's super high impact and kicking ass. And then you hear him talk, and he's trying to duck Reigns or feed Jericho to him or stuff like that. It doesn't always fit him, and I kind of wish they'd go back to the ass-kicking one. But I know they want people to boo him, so they make him kind of wussbag.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much longer, and we talked about this last time too, I don't know how much longer Jericho... I mean, Jericho looks like he's in great shape. He looks like he's having a lot of fun with the whole thing. But, you know, he's, what, 40-something years old or so? I don't know how much longer he's going to have in his career. What I want, if they ever change the storyline, I want a massive break stuff meltdown between Jericho.
I think it's going to happen after, as much as I hate to say it, because I'd prefer they keep the belt on Owens, and Reigns has been booked horribly through all this.
Yeah.
I think Reigns wins in Jericho and Owens feud.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
We'll see. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. Little quick episode here, sort of.
I'm excited for Rumble, though. I said it before.
Yeah, I'm very excited for Rumble.
I don't know what's going to happen. I think Kurt Angle shows up. Maybe Kenny Omega as another surprise. I think Samoa Joe will be there. So, I don't know. I'm just guessing at surprise people. And then, because we know 22 of the entrants.
Yeah. You know what really surprised me to show up? Mr. Kennedy.
Oof, I don't think that'll happen.
I know.
Man, like, all the people who hated him are still in the WWE. It's a guy I kind of feel bad for. He made a mistake and got a bad reputation, but then he compounded it and apparently just supposedly became really hard to deal with afterwards. But
the only other one I can think of, and again, I'm pretty sure this isn't going to happen because of certain things that were said last year. I want to see the Hulkster in the Rumble.
Oof.
I know. It's probably never going to happen.
Why is the Hulkster going after Booker T as an announcer?
I think I've said this before in the last 2 years, but one of my favorite feuds, and we are going to do certain favorite episodes at some point, folks, but one of my favorite feuds was Stone Cold and Booker T when Stone Cold was always going after Booker T after
the best
Booker.
Part of that was the supermarket.
Yep.
That was really good. And yeah, listening to the two of them talk about it, I can't remember when they did, but yeah, it was pretty funny. That was a good. Yeah, it must have taken them a while to figure out exactly what to do there, but man, it worked really well.
Yeah, it really, really did. So, all right, folks, coming up next is the Royal Rumble for us here in Mayhem Mikes. That'll be episode 18. And then episode 19 is going to be our first superstar spotlight, seeing as how nobody, Crunchman61 on Twitter, said anything about who we should do the first superstar spotlight on. We're going to be doing it on John Cena for episode 19.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, really. He's from West Newbury, Massachusetts, don't you know?
Born and raised on the playground is where he spent most of his time.
On that note, thank you. Oh, boy. Fresh Prince. You know what I'd love to see?
This is great.
Yeah. You know what I'd love to see at Mania this year? I know this probably will never happen, but I would
Fresh
love
Prince,
to
apparently.
See... No. Somebody way worse. I want to see a Vince Trump reunion.
You know, you mentioned that, but apparently that's actually a possibility.
Well, isn't Linda one of Trump's...
Yeah, but apparently Trump may be the first sitting president to be at WrestleMania. Vince is pulling out all the stops to try to make it happen.
That would be awesome. I can see the hashtag now, Trumping the McMahons.
Well, at least for the first time, there's two people in the upper offices in the U.S. who have been Stone Cold Stunnered before, so...
Linda and Trump. Okay, yep. I was going to say, I don't think Mike Pence has been in WWE.
No, he only got hit with the tombstone, but no way.
So, all right, folks. Hope you enjoyed this episode of Mayhem Mikes. We'll be back, like I said, next time with our reactions to Royal Rumble. Very excited for Royal Rumble this year. I love how they've done the Remember the Rumble on both shows. I think that has been a really good segment showing off various events from past Rumbles. That is always, that was really, really awesome and interesting. So, we're going to get the heck out of here, and this time around, we're going to close out with AJ Styles versus John Cena, the next battle, because John Cena basically just killed AJ on the mic. So we will catch you next time here on Mayhem Mikes.
I didn't just take your place. I'm the face that replaced you. That gets to you a little bit, doesn't it? It does. Because I'm the man here on SmackDown Live, not you, me. And I know it eats you up because every time you've stepped into this ring with me, you know I'm the better man in it. I know this, John, because each and every time you've come up with an excuse. Oh, AJ Styles doesn't play fair. Oh, wait. I wasn't ready to come back from my injury. Hey, you know what, John? You've got all these, you know, excuses. Do you have any left? In fact, I've got one for you. You. You are the only excuse left, because you are a sorry excuse for a wrestler. And I see you've got a new shirt. That's cute. Respect. Earn it. What does AJ Styles have to do to get some respect around him? What do I have to do to earn it? What does this guy from Atlanta have to do to earn some respect around here? Will I get respect when I beat you at the Royal Rumble? Will I get it then? I have fought for everything, for every inch here in the WWE. And at the Royal Rumble, I'm not settling for an inch. I'm taking a foot and I'm putting it in your ass.
The champ's a little tense tonight. The champ is complaining that he doesn't get any respect. You are complaining because the world doesn't know how phenomenal AJ Styles really is. You're upset about a poster? You're upset about a morning show? What, somebody say something bad about you? Dude, how many times have I come to this ring and 10,000 or more people tell me I suck and I don't belong, but you complaining about respect? Everything I got, everything I work for, everything I earn, but a guy like you just says, Otis, he's John Cena. They hand him everything, but you complaining about respect? Check this one out. This one's a real kicker, right? You're going to try as hard as you can to make it here. And if you ever fail, oh, no, it ain't your fault. It's my fault, right? Because I buried you. But you're talking about respect? Dude, you've been hot for like 6 months. I held this place down for well over a decade. But a guy like you can stand in this ring and call me a sorry excuse for a wrestler. Why? Because I didn't put time in on the indie scene? Here's a spoiler alert. I wasn't built for the indie scene. I was built for the WWE, for SmackDown Live, for the Royal Rumble, for moments like right here, right now. So I'm on a level with you, homie. Regardless of how good you think you are, you're not on my level. You're not even on the level below me. I get more done in a day than you do in a career. And I never, never talk about what I deserve or how many critics I got. I just earn every day and shut every mouth. You upset about a poster? Hell, Photoshop yourself over me. I don't give a damn about a poster. I give a damn about Sunday. Oh, yeah. I am sorry for one thing. You're not a guy from Atlanta. You're just a guy. You're just a guy holding on to that championship because I let you. And you so unoriginal. You just like every other guy before you who hates me so very much but does everything they can to be me, Mr. Face That Runs the Place. And you also just the guy who on Sunday is going to find out what everybody already knows. There's only one John Cena, and I'm still a bad, bad man. And my time is now. Recognize.
First time I've ever seen AJ speechless.
There's only one John Cena. He's right.
What an epic verbal flame-throwing session.
But will he be the champion at the Royal Rumble? That's as passionate as I've ever seen John Cena. Get ready, AJ.
You just made the list.
All clear.